justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
And one more. Black lives matter.
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 The nation erupted into scenes of chaos, violence.
Oh my God.
And widespread destruction into the early morning hours. Dozens of American cities up in flames after some protests turned into riots, often followed by looting as a nation simmering with unrest unraveled.
How long can you be peaceful when your people are dying?
In Los Angeles, hours before a curfew was ordered, the city became a war zone. After attempting to breach television studios, large groups torched police cruisers as officers fired back with rubber bullets.
What's up, everybody? It's me, Justin, back with another episode. I'm just gonna tell y'all how it is. It's a somber week. For obvious reasons, we've seen what's been going on in the news and in the media with black lives, black bodies being lost at the hands of police. It gets tiring. This week, we're getting a solo episode. I think that it's only fitting that I do a solo episode to address everything that's been going on. But before I start, this is the start of June. I just want to wish a happy Pride Month to all of my LGBTQ listeners. It's our favorite month of the year for corporate America. They love to perform their activism with all their rainbow gear and their rainbow paraphernalia with all their brands and stuff. Do they really care? Probably not. It's annoying. More on that in a second. But I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm just cutting all the BS this week. I'm tired. I don't know what else to say that hasn't already been said. I just need to vent at this point, and hopefully you guys are feeling the same thing that I'm feeling. This is a tiring time in America for a lot of people, for especially black people. We saw the death of three people at the hands of police. We saw Breonna Taylor, of course, George Floyd, and Ahmaud Arbery. Like, this is sad. I have said before that I, per se, have not experienced, you know, deliberate racism as a black man in America, but that doesn't mean that this stuff doesn't happen. A lot of people believe that just because they don't see racism, it doesn't exist. And I think with what's happening with these situations in the media is, you know, these situations are being explored and exploited with cameras. We all have smartphones now. We're able to record and really get a view on what's been happening in the real world. So I think part of this outrage that's been going on is due to people seeing it. You know, people are watching that full 10-minute long video of somebody kneeling on the neck of a black man for almost 9 minutes until he dies, until he kills and murders him in plain sight. Let me just tell y'all, I still have not even finished that video. I can't bring myself to watch it. It's so painful. I can't do it. I can't do it. And for those of y'all that have powered through and watched that, more power to you. I cannot do it. How many more people are we going to see die at the hands of either vigilantes, white police officers? This is beginning to be too much. I don't know. I remember, I think in 2016, when Philando Castile and, you know, Alton Sterling had passed away at the hands of police, that was a dark time. I remember trying to avoid social media. I think when stuff like this happens, the worst place to go on is Facebook. It is. It is, because everybody always wants to share their opinions. I say on the podcast all the time that during the election in 2016, that was probably one of the worst places to go on, because people are, you know, spouting their religious and political beliefs, you know, writing long paragraphs, arguing with people back and forth. I don't have the energy for that. If you don't understand racism at this point, it's not my job to explain that to you, especially like with black people. We lived it. We're teaching the class. That's white people's homework. That's not our job to teach you guys about systematic oppression, about discrimination, about racism, about police brutality, about white privilege. It's not my job to do that. And I'm tired at this point. I'm not doing it. And I think that people should stop. I think that in your own families, we all have family members that say questionable things, and it's our job to teach them. If you know better and you believe yourself to be an ally, you believe yourself to be anti-racist, it's your job to, you know, stand up to your family members, say what's right, and do the right thing. Back to what I was saying, that was a dark time on Facebook because people were writing, you know, long paragraphs. That was when the whole, like, Blue Lives Matter, you know, movement happened and the whole All Lives Matter, you know, debate was going on. There was a lot of people that didn't understand what Black Lives Matter meant. Black Lives Matter has never meant only Black Lives Matter and nobody else's matters except for Black people. That's not what it means. People, I feel like, with Facebook and all this social media stuff, are too busy and too quick to respond. Oftentimes, people listen to respond rather than listening to understand. And I think there's a distinction there. In order to listen to understand, you have to be, you know, receptive to what other people are saying. You might not agree or you might agree, but you have to listen. And I think that in this country, we're not listening to one another. A lot of people were saying, Blue Lives Matter and All Lives Matter. Nobody's saying that all lives don't matter. We're saying that, you know, Black lives are what's at stake and what, you know, are at risk at the moment. And that's what needs to be protected. And with what I've been seeing on social media this time around, I'm not seeing back and forth arguments about Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. A lot of people, at least the people that I follow, are understanding it at least. They are all rightfully angry because I feel like we should be rightfully angry. The anger that a lot of people are finally seeing is the anger that a lot of people have been experiencing. And it's high time that people have been seeing this. Will Smith had a quote that's been going around on social media and he said, "Racism isn't getting worse. It's just getting filmed." And I believe that's true because if you remember in the 90s with Rodney King, we saw police, like there's a group of at least six officers just beating, senselessly beating this Black man.
On March 3rd, 1991, a man recorded this scene from his apartment balcony in Los Angeles.
It shows LAPD officers beating a man named Rodney King. King was released 2 days later without being charged. In April 1992, four police officers were acquitted of criminal charges in this beating. That led to violent riots around Southern California.
And it was being filmed. So before that, a lot of people felt like police were good people. And that doesn't mean that police are bad people necessarily.
But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
But, you know, people always believe that police are out to protect them. But when they saw the senseless beating, people really questioned what exactly is going on here. But I truly feel that the dam is breaking. People are tired. Like, that's the analogy I'll use. This is a dam. All of this oppression that's been going on, all of the police brutality, all of this stuff is like a dam. And the cracks in the dam are forming. Water is leaking. And this dam is about to break. People are at their breaking point. And finally, it's not only white people or Black people specifically that are at their breaking point. It's a lot of white people and, you know, non-Black people as well. We're all tired of this. And we're all, you know, wondering what can we do to finally put a stop to this? Because at this point, something has to be done. Because for too long, how many times have we seen a police shooting? Everybody's like mourning. A week goes by. We forget about it. Everybody's like, kumbaya, kumbaya, come together. And at the end of the day, nothing happens. Nothing happens. And the cycle continues to repeat itself. You know, insanity is doing the same thing over again and expecting a different result. And I think at this point, a lot of us are tired. We don't want to become insane. We're finally going to put a stop to it. By doing the same thing over again, no change is going to come. I always say, if you want change, you have to be the change that you want to see. It's not enough to hashtag Black Lives Matter. We have to get active. We have to, you know, exercise the power that we do have. Because I do believe that we can't control everything, but we can only control what we can control. So I think at this point, we're all trying to group together. We're trying to fight this fight together. And it's going to take all hands because we're tired. And if we want to see changes, we have to do something about it. So let's talk about performative activism. So I consulted my good friends at Wikipedia, and they said that performative activism is activism done to increase one's social capital or clout rather than because of one's devotion to a cause. It is often associated with surface-level activism. And let me tell y'all, I completely agree with this. And what really brought this into light was the whole Blackout Tuesday thing. First of all, Okay, I'll get on that in a second. But the intention of the whole Black Cat Tuesday thing, it was organized by two people, Jamila and Brianna, and it was created to disrupt the music industry for a day with the hashtag "The Show Must Be Paused." So this was in response, of course, to the killings of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery. So that's the point of the hashtag. And somehow I think it got co-opted and people thought that meant that literally black out and post a black screen on your Instagram in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement. And that completely backfired because in the beginning, people began to hashtag Black Lives Matter and a picture of a black screen. And whenever people would look up the hashtag Black Lives Matter, all you would see is, you know, black screens with nothing on it. And this was completely counterproductive because, you know, people were using the hashtag Black Lives Matter to find important information, where to protest, how to donate. All of these helpful links were found due to the Black Lives Matter hashtag. And now that people were posting black screens with the hashtag instead of helpful information, a lot of people weren't even able to find helpful information that they needed to, you know, enact the changes in their community. So that was completely stupid. I think that the idea failed. And I see the intention. I get that it was to build solidarity. And it was beautiful to see all the people actually doing it. But how much of that was performative? You know, whenever the initial report of the killing of George Floyd happened, I saw a lot of people posting to their stories about, you know, spreading awareness about what happened, spreading awareness about, you know, white privilege and how people can dismantle the racist systems that this country is built upon. And it was beautiful to see. And a lot of people were also silent. And that was deafening. That was also really sad to see because you expect that with something so prevalent that happens in the United States that everybody feels unanimous about it, that people are going to voice their outrage and their frustration or say something. And to see some people saying nothing, that was disheartening. With the whole, you know, Blackout Tuesday thing, since a lot of people weren't posting, some people felt like this was their one opportunity to say something about the Black Lives Matter movement and everything that's been going on. And it was performative because truly they don't care. If you really cared, you would have taken action on your own, posted whatever you need to post, be active and be a participant in your own way. But they decided to, ooh, jump on this cute trend. Ooh, Blackout Tuesday, Blackout Tuesday. I'm sure that some of these people didn't even know what Blackout Tuesday was, but because they saw a lot of people doing it, they're like, oh, let me hop up on this trend. And that's what it is, a trend. Y'all know me, I've never been one person to, you know, do all these little trends and challenges and stuff. I'm not a fan of stuff like that. A lot of people were doing that. And initially, before the whole Blackout Tuesday thing happened, there's this whole thread that was happening on people's Instagram stories where they would take a picture of a black screen and tag 10 people to end black violence. And what exactly does that do? It does nothing. There's so many more helpful things that you can actually do to help the movement than to play tag on Instagram and be stupid. Like, that does nothing. And if anybody tagged me in that, I would block them. Like, I don't even care. Like, I don't care. If you tag me in something like that, I will block you. There's bigger fish to fry and more important things that you could be doing than doing stuff like that. Recognize your privilege and do more to enact change, you know? It's not hard. And my whole thing with performative activism is that people think that just doing one little post, oh, they ended racism, oh, they really did something. And truly, you're doing nothing. Think about it. A lot of these people are going to post a black screen and a couple days later, they'll archive it because it messes up their feed, or they'll do nothing. You know, posting that does nothing. There's ways you can actually get involved. I think that that whole Blackout Tuesday was stupid because if you're going to have a challenge, why not do something that actually adds to the cause? Why not, you know, take a screenshot of ways people can get involved in their own communities? That way people that want to get involved can have access, you know, more so to things that can actually help the movement. One thing that I have to talk about is the silence from those people that we follow on social media. It's crazy that with all this going on, I saw people were instantly posting. People were outraged, and rightfully so. A lot of people were taking to Instagram and posting on their stories with helpful links that can help people, you know, in times of need, helpful links to donate. But there was a lot of other people that were silent. And that was interesting because there's a lot of people that we follow on social media that we call our friends. And when stuff like this happens, We expect those people to stand up for us. And a lot of people were staying quiet, and I think that's sad. If you're not willing to stand up for me now, you're not truly a friend. And a lot of people have to truly look at people for what they are. If you're staying silent in this moment, you're not a friend of mine, and you have to wake up. And I've been unfollowing a lot of people. I don't care. A lot of people are like, oh, I've known Sally Sue for 10 years. I can't unfollow her. Why? If Sally Sue or whatever is not willing to stand up for you when you need her the most, she's never going to stand up for you, and that's truly not your friend. A lot of people are realizing that these people are not truly for us. And the same thing that happened in 2016 with Donald Trump and his election, I unfollowed a lot of people as well. People are free to believe what they want to believe, but there are certain things that I stand for that I'm not willing to compromise. If you are ignorant, I unfollowed you, I blocked you, and I don't care. Same thing with this situation, with all the stuff that's going on with the police. If you're staying silent during this time, you're no friend of mine, and I've been unfollowing people left and right, and I truly don't care. Because friends come and go, but those people that truly care about you will use this moment to use their platforms and their privilege to speak up on your behalf. And I'm speaking directly to a lot of non-black people, a lot of these people in white sororities that are scared to speak out because they are scared of what people are going to think about you. Who cares? Who cares? Because I always see that thread that people repost on social media about Martin Luther King. And the thread says something to the effect of, if you truly wonder what you would be doing if we were in the civil rights era, you don't have to look too far because you have to look at yourself and what you're doing in this current moment. I agree with that. Just take a look at what you're doing now. If you're being active, if you're being engaged, if you're spreading information, if you're donating and doing the work, that's exactly what you would have been doing in the 1960s. For those of y'all that are silent, that speaks volumes. That speaks volumes because you're probably silent during that civil rights moment and you're truly not an ally. A lot of people don't know what it means to be an ally. An ally is somebody that forgoes what other people think about them in order to do what's right. And that's what a lot of us need to do. Who cares about doing what everybody else is doing? Do what you feel in your heart is the right thing to do. So I don't care. I'm following people and I'm not thinking twice about it. And I wish the same for everybody else. I wouldn't want that type of person around me. Somebody that would never fight for me when I need them the most. And people are scared to ruffle feathers. Who cares? Shake the table. Ruffle everything. Who cares? If you know in your heart of heart what the right thing to do is, speak up and speak out. And there's not much more I can say about that. If you have to be told to act, that shows that you truly don't care and you're truly not an ally. I shouldn't have to tell anybody, sign a petition. I shouldn't have to tell anybody to donate. I shouldn't have to tell anybody what the right thing to do is. The right thing to do is obvious. And if you don't get it, you're not a friend of mine. And you should unfollow those people. Because what are you following those people for? What are you clinging on to these relationships for if they're fleeting? You know? And a lot of people have to look in the mirror and ask themselves that question. Who are my friends? Who are my true allies, people that are really wanting to, you know, fight this battle with me? You have to ask yourself that. So one thing that we're, you know, learning the hard way is about these celebrities. I constantly say over and over and over again that people should stop worshiping these celebrities. We care about them more than they care about us, and that's a problem. I see countless celebrities that haven't said anything at all. And a lot of people are like, why hasn't so-and-so said anything? So-and-so hasn't said anything. What did y'all expect? A lot of these celebrities are scared to lose, you know, partnerships. They're scared to lose, you know, brand deals. Because if they speak out, they're seen as, you know, militant. They're seen as, you know, problematic. But the reality is, whatever they have to lose does not cost more than somebody's life. I'll say it again. Whatever all these celebrities have to lose does not cost more than the price of somebody's life. You know, if you truly care, if you truly want to make a difference, these celebrities to utilize their platforms to make a difference, whether that's with donations, whether that's pointing out attention to petitions. Do it. Like, we all have the power to do something, and these celebrities are normal people too. They should be doing just as much as us, if not more. They do have bigger platforms, so if you really care about black people, if you care about us regular people, do what you can. Do what you can. Because I've always said that people aren't obligated to voice their political, you know, affiliation, But we're living in a completely different time now. Things are changing. And to be silent is to be complicit. I can't tolerate that. I can't tolerate that at all. If you truly care about the people, you'll do your part. Because I've never cared about celebrities, because what are they doing for me? Like I said before, we care about them and we do more for them than they do for us. So I'm not going to worship a celebrity. I don't even follow any verified accounts on my Instagram either, because I don't care. Celebrities don't do anything for me. So why do I care and why do I worship them? Because the people that worship them are looking like fools, because when the time to act is happening, their celebrities aren't saying anything. They're posting a black box on Instagram thinking that's doing something. More on that in a second. But it's just ridiculous. And it's getting to a point where with the coronavirus, with now all of this, you know, protesting going on, people are realizing that celebrities are not worth anything. Truly, they are useless. A lot of them are useless and are doing nothing with their platforms. And that is something that I've been reiterating on the podcast over and over again. But one thing that I saw that was tweeted by former Dallas Cowboy wide receiver Dez Bryant, this is what he tweeted. "I'll never let racist white people make me forget about the dope white people I know exist. I love y'all." And that, what is the point of a message like that? This is not the time to coddle white people. And I hate that people think that white people are so fragile. Oh, don't say that. That's too harsh. Don't say that. Don't say that. White people do not need to be coddled. They, more than, you know, all of us, should be doing their part to dismantle the system that they built. They built the system. The system is not broken. It was built this way. So they need to do their part to right the wrongs. And I hate when people, or specifically people who are not black, say, "Oh, what can I do? What can I do?" Stop acting like you're helpless. There's countless resources out there that can direct you to things that you can read, places to donate, what you can do in your own day-to-day life to dismantle this racist system that we're all living in. I'm just tired of all the coddling. You can go to all these Black Lives Matter websites. I'm sure they have sections where they have allies and what allies can do to better help, you know, the situation and to be a better ally. There's countless resources out there. So a lot of people should stop acting like they're helpless and that they can't read for themselves. If you can read, you can do the work. Stop expecting black people to, you know, coddle you and help you through everything. It's not our job to do that. How many times have I said on the podcast, it's not black people's job to teach white people about racism? We're teaching the class. This is white people's homework. They need to do the work for themselves, dismantle the system, and be an active participant in speaking up in their own personal lives. We all know what your meemaw, your peepaw, your wawa, your yaya, your mama, your peemaw, weewa, yaya, whatever. Whatever you call your grandparents or your uncles or whatever, we all know what they say on those dinner tables. And some of y'all are silent. Some of y'all refuse to speak up. That is the greatest time to speak up, to say something. To be silent is to be complicit. If you truly want to make a difference, start there. Start in your own families, in your own communities, and be the change that you want to see. Don't expect us to spoon feed you, to do the work for you. That's laziness. Y'all can do it. I promise you, it's not that hard. And I think that we have to call into question the people that we love. Look at Jay-Z. Jay-Z is the one that said we've moved past kneeling, when clearly we haven't. He said that we should move towards more actionable items, whatever that is supposed to mean.
Okay, I think we've passed kneeling. Yeah, I think it's time to go into actionable items. I know we're stuck on it because it's a real thing, but it's a form of protest. I support protests across the board. We need to bring light to the issue. I think everyone knows what the issue is. And we're done with that.
Clearly that's not happening, and clearly Colin Kaepernick is looking like he was right all along. And I think that when it comes to activism, sometimes you have to do what's unpopular in order to do what's right.
That sometimes you have to forego doing what's popular in order to do what's right.
I'm sure Colin Kaepernick had a lot of advisors telling him, "Hey man, you should stop you with this knee stuff, stop taking a knee, protect your brand, protect your money." But sometimes you have to be willing to lose everything in order to gain what you're fighting for. And Colin Kaepernick lost his job. He was blackballed from the NFL. He wasn't able to get a job. He was called all types of things by the president for taking a knee, for standing up to injustice.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired!
It's so funny because the same people that are complaining about, you know, the looters are the same people when Colin Kaepernick was gently taking a knee. They were the same people saying that he was disrespecting the flag.
The 49ers dual threat quarterback with the rocket arm and lightning quick feet staying seated during the national anthem at Friday's preseason game, telling the NFL Network, I'm not going to stand up and show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color.
I have experienced this. People close to me have experienced this. So it's something that needs to be addressed.
Kaepernick clarifying Sunday that refusing to honor the flag doesn't mean he's disrespecting the military.
People are dying in vain because this country isn't holding their end of the bargain up as far as, you know, giving freedom and justice and liberty to everybody.
And it's funny because the protest has never been about the national anthem. The protest has never been about a flag. The protest has always been about injustice with policing and black lives. That's what it's always been about. It's been about Black Lives Matter. People refuse to listen. They listen to respond instead of listening to understand. It's clearly easy. So my theory is that these people know what's up. They're choosing to be ignorant, choosing to tie whatever, you know, platitudes that they want to agree with into Colin Kaepernick's message. They don't want to listen to him when he says that he's protesting police brutality. Instead, they'll make the whole argument about the flag. Instead, they'll make the whole argument about the national anthem when that's never been the cause. So Colin Kaepernick is looking like he was right all along. And that's so funny that the same organization that was going to fine players for simply taking a knee is now speaking out about this injustice. It's so funny when it's convenient. People want to be woke. People want to be active in their communities. But in other times, they're telling people don't take a knee, to stand up during the national anthem when people clearly want to take a peaceful protest. And it's just hypocritical. I'm showing y'all how all these brands, all these people, when it's convenient, now they want to be woke. And Colin Kaepernick is going to go down as a martyr. He truly is. He's going to go down as a martyr of injustice and fighting for black lives on and off the field. It's so sad that he was blackballed, you know, for doing what was right. And like I said before, people sometimes have to forego what's popular in order to do what's right. And he risked his entire career, his entire livelihood for a cause that he truly cared about. And I think that's commendable. I think that that's truly commendable because a lot of people in his position, making millions, making all the money that Colin Kaepernick was making, the easy thing to do, the safe option, is to do nothing. The easiest thing is to do nothing when, you know, things are staring you in your face. You'd rather stick to your comfort than to do what you think is right. And I commend him for standing up to all the people that said he was making a wrong move, because look at him now. He's still the face of the Black Lives Matter movement in his own communities, and he's actually doing the work. I can't say the same for a lot of other celebrities and a lot of people that would rather say nothing and be complicit than to risk something for the benefit of a larger majority of people. It's just sad. I brought up Jay-Z because he, behind everybody's back, decided to partner up with the NFL and, you know, produce halftime shows. And then he said, oh, we need to move towards more actionable items. But that's so hypocritical. When it benefits Jay-Z, that's when he's for it. But when it doesn't benefit him, he's nowhere to be found.
I said no to the Super Bowl. You need me, I don't need you. Every night we in the end zone. Tell the NFL we in stadiums too.
And it just shows how self-serving a lot of these celebrities are. Even Beyonce, y'all know that I love Beyonce, but I even have to question her as well. In her song Formation, she told people, okay, get in formation. And she marched on the Super Bowl with the whole Black Panther aesthetic. And then when stuff like this is happening in real life with George Floyd, she goes on Instagram and posts this odd Instagram message with a filter and weird music playing in the background saying, We need justice for George Floyd. Where's the energy that you had in Formation? You know, you love to wear don the Black Panther aesthetic. Where's that energy when it comes to actually fighting those injustices when they're happening in real life? It's one thing to put those, you know, images and that iconography in your music, but you're silent and you don't have that same energy. Instead, you're saying people of color. It's Black people. It's Black lives. And a lot of these celebrities are being so PC about it. There's nothing to be PC about it. Call it what it is. It's, you know, Black people, Black lives that are being lost. So I'm tired of these celebrities that don't understand it. All right, so I think that's about it for this episode. This episode is just as scrambled as my brain because we're all scattered brain at this moment. We're all angry. We're all, you know, mad, and rightfully so. With so much that's been happening, you know, nothing ever gets done. And I think this time around, people have finally wanted to put a stop to that, and rightfully so. So all of you guys that are protesting, I love to see it. You guys are a part of the change that we all want to see in the communities that we live in this country that we all call home. So you guys that are out there on the front lines, thank you so much for fighting the good fight, because a lot of us can't, especially since Corona is out there. The fact that so many people are still willing to risk their lives knowing that, you know, this virus is still out there, it shows a lot. It truly shows a lot. But speaking of that, I see that a lot of people still aren't wearing their masks. Corona is not over. We still have to protect ourselves. So all of you guys that are going out there and protesting, y'all continue to stay safe, wear your mask, you know, stay as safe as possible. And yeah, continue to fight the good fight, because we have a long battle ahead of us, and we have to continue staying vigilant and speaking out when we see these injustices. I'm playing my part. I'm using my platform to, you know, show awareness. And you guys, I encourage you all to do the same. We're all, you know, living in this society. And if we want to live in a better society, we have to do more, not just for ourselves, but for everybody else as well. So those are my thoughts on the situation that's going on. I just wanted to come on here and just rant a little bit, talk about how I'm feeling, because I'm sure that some of y'all might be feeling the same way, and y'all need to hear somebody that echoes the same sentiments that you all have. So that's what I'm doing this week, just coming on here to rant and, yeah, you know, continue fighting. And that's what I'm going to continue to do. So y'all continue to stay safe. Thank you so much for listening to this. And as always, I'll catch you guys on the next one. I think I might release more content this week. Hey, I'm not making any promises, but we'll see. But yeah, thank you guys for listening and supporting the show. It truly means a lot to me. Feel free to follow me on all the platforms. And let's not allow our frustrations to force us to be inactive. We have to continue being active for everybody that we love and everybody that we care about. So thank you so much for listening. And as always, I will catch you guys on the next one.